Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Good Soil Podcast, where the Word of God meets ears, minds, and hearts, and by His grace grows a great harvest. I'm Aaron Fesenmeyer, pastor of York Evangelical Free Church, right here at the crossroads of the Midwest, York, Nebraska. I'm grateful that you've joined me today. We've wrapped up the letter to the Hebrews and continuing our trek through the New Testament. So welcome to the letter of James. This is one of the earliest books we have in the New Testament, written less than a decade after Jesus Christ was crucified, rose, and ascended into heaven. And it was written by a very special person. The letter only mentions once who is writing. James. This James is almost without a doubt James, who was called the Just, who was the leader of the early church in Jerusalem, and you can find out more about him in Acts chapter 15. He was also the half-brother of Jesus himself. And this is a big deal because most of the record we have of Jesus' brothers in the New Testament are of them thinking their older brother was crazy for thinking himself the Messiah. Yet here he now is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem and calling himself in the letter a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So why did the Holy Spirit guide the half-brother of Jesus, the leader in the Church of Jerusalem, James, to write this letter? As you are reading this letter, you probably notice relatively short sections that almost come across like sections from the book of Proverbs from the Old Testament. In fact, that's exactly the point. This book has been called the Proverbs of the New Testament. For what James is after, what the Holy Spirit is after in the church, is wisdom. If James were in a classroom and he put forward the conditional statement, "If any of you lacks wisdom," as he says in James chapter 1, verse 5, "all the hands of the students should go up," he would continue with the powerful truth, "Let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." If this letter is about one main thing, it is this: Christians should live in divine wisdom, with the pursuit of divine wisdom. Wisdom, what is it? Wisdom is truth applied, knowledge lived, understanding displayed. It is with this main purpose of promoting wisdom for the church in its life that James writes of two themes. First, if wisdom is truth applied, then the wise Christian, indeed a true Christian, lives by faith demonstrated in works. He writes in chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, "Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." And this is not opposite of salvation by grace through faith alone. As we believe, faith is not merely an intellectual assent, an amassing of knowledge that stagnates from non-use. According to James, as he says in chapter 2, verses 18 through 19, he says, "Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder." But what's the difference between us and demons? Our belief translates into action. And he gives examples of Abraham and Rahab, and they demonstrate that though both had the mental assent, it was evidenced as true faith in God by its transformative effect on the way they lived their lives in worshipful obedience to God. Faith in Christ is visible faith, as a pastor friend of mine has said. Thus, James writes a lot of instruction on the living out of faith in the life of the Christian and in the church. Secondly, this teaching on wisdom, faith, and works has its ground in who God is. James wants his readers to understand that holy living in wisdom, it doesn't spring from nowhere, but from a trustworthy God who is the Father of lights, who gives good gifts to his children, who is sovereign and has a redemptive design. And all of those are found in chapter 1. It is on this God of salvation, love, and wisdom that the readers of James can firmly ground themselves. and bear much fruit because of it. When we are able to grasp a few quiet moments in our noisy world, a very noisy world, what tends to fill our minds as believers? You ever thought about that? If we're honest, we usually do not default to great and true thoughts about the living God. We're prone to think of the little world of me much more than not. So small wonder it is that we often look like the world in our actions and our responses and in our speech. And God and the church leader James wants to help us see our God as the wise God, as the trustworthy God who gives without finding fault, and who wants to transform us and help us to be doers of the word, not hearers only. This is a great little letter. The Holy Spirit desires the transformation of our desires to match the wisdom from above that is pure, then peaceable, then gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, as he writes in chapter 3, verse 17 of this letter. So, as we start this book, let me pray for us as we receive God's word in the letter of James. Heavenly Father, Father of lights and good gifts, we come and we pray for wisdom. We pray that you would give us wisdom by your Holy Spirit as we read this letter. Thank you for what you have to teach us and the good you desire for us. Thank you that we can trust Jesus and live life in him by faith. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Good Soil Podcast. I'm enjoying reading the Bible with you. Let me encourage you to keep reading. His voice is worth hearing. Until I talk with you next, may God reap a great harvest in our midst as his word grows in good soil.